Chapter 1 of the Holy Scripture. We'll be looking this morning at section 7 and 8. Section 7 reads like this: All things in Scripture are not alike plain in themselves, nor alike clear unto all. Yet those things which are necessary to be known, believed, and observed for salvation are so clearly propounded and opened in some place of Scripture or other, that not only the learned, but the unlearned, in a due use of the ordinary means, may attain unto a sufficient understanding of them. Section 8. The Old Testament in Hebrew, which was the native language of the people of God of old, and the New Testament in Greek, which at the time of the writing of it was most generally known to the nations, being immediately inspired by God and by His singular care and providence kept pure in all ages, are therefore authentical, so as in all controversies of religion the Church is finally to appeal unto them. But because these original tongues are not known to all the people of God, who have right unto and interest in the Scriptures, and are commanded in the fear of God to read and search them, therefore they are to be translated into the vulgar language of every nation unto which they come, that the Word of God, dwelling plentifully in all, they may worship Him in an acceptable manner, and through patience and comfort of the Scriptures may have hope. Chapter 1 of the Westminster Confession of Faith has made statements about the necessity of Scripture, the canon of Scripture, the authority, the sufficiency of Scripture. Here we're told about the clarity of Scripture, and about texts and translations of Scripture. Section 7 begins by explaining that Bible reading is not always easy. On the one hand, certain parts of Scripture are harder to read than others. The Apostle Peter himself said some things written by the Apostle Paul are hard to be understood. Really, any reader of the Bible, even a reader who has read the Bible for many years, knows that all things in Scripture are not alike plain in themselves. On the other hand, it's just as true that we all read the Bible at different levels, and so, as the Confession puts it, the Scripture is not alike clear unto all. Some Christians understand the Bible better than others. We're not all teachers, and we're not all seasoned saints. In fact, some have just entered the Bible for the first time. Some things they've seen, but do not yet understand, and some things they've not seen. There are many doors which they've yet to open and enter, and many corners which they've yet to explore. Well, given that certain portions of the Bible are difficult, especially for some people, it's important to be humble in approaching the Bible and in listening to teachers. We must not reject an interpretation of the Bible simply because it's difficult to understand, either for us or for everyone. On the contrary, we should remember that this is God's revelation of Himself, and we should not expect that everything revealed about God will be easy for us to grasp. Mining the treasures of the Bible is difficult work. But what a grave mistake it would be to think that everything in the Bible is beyond us. How right the Westminster Divines were to say that those things which are necessary to be known, believed, and observed for salvation are not beyond our grasp. Every aspect of the gospel is clearly propounded and opened in some place of Scripture or other. If you're reading Ecclesiastes and you end up confused about eternal life, then by all means turn to the Gospels or to Ephesians or to Romans. In Romans you can read that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Ephesians you can read that by grace you're saved through faith, that salvation's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. And it's in the Gospels that we hear Jesus say that no man has greater love than this, than he lays down his life for his friends. And then in the same Gospels, we see what he means. Truly, not only the learned, but the unlearned can understand these things, and we might add, explain them to others. We only need to use the Word of God properly, reading it carefully, listening to it prayerfully. That is to say, we can expect the Holy Spirit's blessing, especially if we do not neglect the ordinary means by which He teaches His people. For the Spirit delights in using the preaching of the Word and the pictures of the gospel provided in baptism and the Lord's Supper, and his own answers to prayer to help us see what is necessary for salvation. Section 8 takes this discussion of the Bible in a different direction, first providing us with comment on the text of the Bible. Most of the inspired Old Testament, aside from a few chapters, is in Hebrew, and most of the New Testament, aside from a few words, is in Greek. The wonderful thing is that God, who directs all of human history, preserved the ancient Hebrew and Greek texts of the Bible like he preserved no other. No other ancient texts survive in such great number and in such good form as do the biblical texts. No other book in the world shows God's singular care and providence, only the Scriptures. It's not the case that every ancient scribe who ever copied a portion of the Bible was kept from any error. But we have so many manuscripts that we can determine the text of the Bible and believe it with confidence. The Bible we have is authentic. Since we have an authentic Bible in Hebrew and Greek, it's to the Hebrew and Greek text of the Bible that we should appeal to in any controversy in a religion. Where else could we turn? What else could command our attention by its authority? This means that those engaged in deciding controversies should know Hebrew and Greek. And it's for this reason, among others, that these languages are required in Christian institutions which train teachers. On the other hand, section 7 stated that the Scriptures clearly point the way of salvation for all and sundry, and that statement really assumes that we will all be able to read the Bible or understand it being read. And many people do not know Greek and Hebrew. Well, the answer then is that we're to translate the Bible into every common language. After all, every child of God has an equal right to hear his or her father's voice. Every child of God has an interest in reading God's word to them. And every person under heaven has a duty to read and to search the Scriptures. And so we translate the Bible so that the word of God will be accessible to all. Only then will it dwell plentifully in all. Only then will we worship him in an acceptable manner. Only then will the words of the Apostle Paul at the end of Romans ring true for all Christians. The things written in old time were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope.